Is it smoky in here, or is it just me? Thank you for being here with us, those of you in here and those of you who are online. You know, most of us, we have some things in our lives that we would change if we could. If we could just snap our fingers, most of us have things that we would like to change about ourselves. Most of us, we would start snapping if we could. I know that there are some things in my past that I'm not very proud of. Things that I have said, things that I have done. You know, if only we would have listened to the Lord instead of to those friends maybe that we were hanging out with. You know, maybe if we had just listened to our parents or some older, wiser advice. You know, if we wouldn't have taken that first drink or that first puff or that first whatever it was that led us down that road. If only. You see, we come to regret some of the decisions in our lives. But as we all know, we cannot change the past. The past is gone. We cannot do anything about it anymore. However, we can change the present. And by doing that, we can change the future. And when things come back up to haunt us, we do need to deal with them. We need to deal with them and work through them in order to find the complete forgiveness and the healing that we need. Do you know that God is more than able and He is more than willing to forgive us and to take away the shame and take it all away from us? Today I want us to look at the life of Paul as we see it in the book of Acts. As we continue working our way through life in the Spirit, we're going to look at Acts chapter 20, verses 13 through 27. And see what it means to live a life with no regrets. Now, don't get me wrong, and don't get the wrong idea that Paul was perfect, that he was a saint, that he had never, ever done anything bad enough to regret it. You see, there was a time in Paul's life when he was so spiritually blind that he thought that he was doing the right thing by killing innocent Christians. And as a result of Paul's sins, he actually describes himself as the biggest sinner of them all. In fact, he even says that he doesn't deserve to be called an apostle because of how he used to treat God's church. So how did Paul ever go and reconcile himself with being responsible for the death of so many Christ followers? I believe it was only because of the grace of God, that he was able to find the forgiveness and the healing. He went on to live a life with no regrets. Here's the main thought or the main idea from our message this morning. You too can live a life with no regrets as you faithfully serve Jesus from this day forward. So how do we live a life free of regrets? Well, let's look at Paul's words to the church leaders that are from Ephesus to identify a few basics that will help us to live a life with no regrets. Before we get into to the meat of the message, I want to give you some background. See, Paul, he has missed his goal of arriving in Jerusalem to worship during the Passover, but he still wants to try to get there before Pentecost so that he can worship in the temple, so that he can encourage the church that is there. And so verses 13 through 16 of our scripture this morning, it tells us what happens during most of this 50-day period between Passover and Pentecost. So let's read the background verses, verses 13 through 16 of Acts chapter 20. It reads like this. Remember, Luke is traveling with Paul right now, and so he's writing it down. And so Luke says at verse 13, "We went on ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. When he met us at Assos, we took him on board and went on to Mytilene. The next day we set sail from there and arrived off Chios. The day after that we crossed over to Samos, and on the following day arrived at Miletus." Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. So let's jump in. Let's jump into our scripture and see what it means to live a life with no regrets and how we can go about doing that. Because the very first thing is that right living leads to a life with no regrets. Verses 17 through 20, 21, let's continue on. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus." Now, this phrase that I used a moment ago, right living, it may sound like we're overstating the obvious, but I think there is something here that we need to consider, something we need to think about. You see, we all make choices every day. And some of those choices, they affect how close we are going to stay with the Lord, how closely we will follow after Him. Some of those decisions, they actually impact the spiritual lives of other people around us. However, when we face these choices, we need to remember that what we are doing now, it establishes a pattern for future behavior. You see, if I go ahead and I indulge in what I want, if I have to make a choice and it's to choose what God has called me to do or to do my own thing, and I go after doing my own thing, the next time it comes up, it becomes easier. The third time, even easier. The fourth time, it's even easier than that. So what do we mean by right living? Well, our scripture gives us some clues. As we look through that, right living, it means living the examined life, examined by God, examined by ourselves, and even observed by others as they are watching us. Right living, it means living as God's servant, following after Him. Right living, it includes humility and compassion. Right living means encouraging others, helping them to grow and to get to know the Lord, to follow after Him. That's discipleship. Right living means being a straight shooter and speaking the truth, telling the truth in love. Right living, it means staying in a right relationship with God and following as closely to Him as you can, being obedient to Him and to His will. It means making decisions that are based on the guidelines that we find in God's Word, the Bible. However, just so we don't get the wrong idea, it's not just about adhering to a list of rules. It's not just a bunch of do's or a bunch of don'ts. Certainly God has given us rules to live by. But even in the Old Testament, in the Bible, it says that the people who are just, the ones who are righteous, they live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Right living, it means living in faith with your faith in God to help you make the right choices, to do the right things that honor Him and that bring Him glory. And if you make it your aim, if you make it your goal in life to honor God in all that you do, then you can live a life with no regrets. You will never, ever regret trusting God or living right and following after Him. And God can honor you and He will bless you with an ever-increasing confidence in Him. The more you follow Him, the more confidence He will give you to follow Him. And it keeps repeating itself. And you will grow and grow and grow. And along those same lines, let's look at the next ingredient for living a regret-free life. And that is that the committed life helps produce a life with no regrets. Remember, Paul is speaking here, verse 22 and through verse 24. And he says, and now, he's speaking to the elders that have come from the church in Ephesus. They've come and they're meeting with him. And he says, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. You see, Paul, he has committed his life to Jesus Christ, and he's following after him. And he's often found himself doing things that don't really make sense to the natural mind. Why would he go back to Jerusalem when he knows that there are many Jews there who want him dead? And yet in verse 22, he says that he is compelled by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. He even goes on, he says, I don't know what's going to happen when I get there. How well do you like venturing into the unknown? Are you willing to part with your own plans? The things that you rely on for security and safety in order to follow after the Lord? In 1987, Lisa and I, we were living on Guam. We both had jobs. Our family was there. Our friends were there. Our church was there. We were involved in sports and in playing sports, but also in officiating sports. And God called us to leave all of that behind, to travel to Vallejo, California. In September, Lisa was able to get a job with Merrill Lynch, and so she had to leave 2 months earlier than I did. I didn't leave until November. I had to finish up school and wrap things up. We packed up some of our stuff and shipped them off. The rest of it we gave away or we sold. And off we went to Vallejo, California, not really knowing what was going to happen. We left our friends, family, left everything behind to follow after the Lord. 2.5 years later in 1991, we moved back to Guam. That was it. We were done with our so-called missions and stuff like that. We were done serving the States. We were going to go to Guam, live the rest of our lives there. We were going to be with family, with friends. A year to the day later, in 1992, Lisa and I moved to Santa Cruz, California. Again, we packed up all of our stuff, sent whatever we could ship and we could mail. We head to Santa Cruz, not really knowing what's going to happen, all that God's going to do for us. In 1995, we moved up here, knowing that God was calling us up to Portland, not really knowing exactly what was going to happen. We had some ideas and some plans of things that we want to do, and we've really only accomplished one of them, and that was we bought a house. The rest of them, nope, they didn't happen. But God knows what he's doing, and Lisa and I have made it our goal to follow God wherever he calls us, to do whatever he wants us to do. Are you committed to following Jesus? Are you willing to part with those things that you find security in order to follow him? Think about it this way. Here are some things that you will never, ever regret. You will never regret quality time with your family. You will never regret spending time in prayer, quality time in prayer or in reading your Bible, spending it in God's presence. You'll never regret investing in other people's lives so that they can get to know the Lord and so that they can grow spiritually. You see, anything that brings you or someone else closer to God and carrying out his purpose and his will, those are the things that you will never, ever regret. But becoming a slave to material possessions, neglecting your relationship with God or with your family, or maybe even just the people that God has brought into your life, those are the things you'll regret. Someone said that when this life is over, nobody is ever going to say, "Boy, I wish I had spent less time with my family and more time at work." Nobody's ever going to say, "I sure wish I had prayed a whole bunch less and spent more time in recreation and my own pleasure, my own things." And why not? Because when this life is over, we will be able to see the true value of the things in life. See, all you can take with you when you die is the love you have for the Lord and the love you've had for other people. That's all you can take with you when you leave this world and you move on into eternity. And if that was your only possession, the love you had for God and the love you had for other people, how rich would you be when you got to heaven? You see, to Paul, nothing else mattered. Nothing else mattered in comparison to what God had called him to do, and that was to share the good news of Jesus, to talk about God's love and his grace. Paul says, I consider my life worth nothing to me. I only want to testify to the good news of God's grace. And do you realize that that is exactly what God has called each and every one of us to do? To go and to make disciples, to be his witnesses. Well, let's talk about what God wants to bless each and every one of us with. That is a clear conscience. You see, it follows a life with no regrets. Verses 25 through 27, remember Paul is speaking. He says, now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Somebody said a clear conscience is often the result of a poor memory. But Paul, he had a clear conscience because he had obeyed the Lord and had shared the good news of Jesus with anyone that God ever brought in his path. His calling as an apostle was to speak the truth about God and of God's love. And he spoke that truth to Jews, to Gentiles, to slaves, to freemen. He spoke it to men, to women, to anybody that God brought along his path. Paul had been faithful in carrying out his mission. And that's why he had a clear conscience. But that doesn't mean that Paul was perfect. He had made mistakes along the way. But he didn't stay there. He didn't live in that mistake. He didn't wallow in that mistake. He learned from that mistake, and that mistake allowed him to go on and to further the gospel and to become more effective in sharing about Jesus and about God's love. What is it that God has called you to do? Has he placed a burden on your heart? Has he blessed you with a gift or with an ability? Something that he wants you to share with others to use for him. You see, certainly that goes right along with this right living and committing yourself to God and his purpose. See, if we don't honor God by right living, if we're not 100% wholly committed to him and to his will and following after him, then we would not have a clear conscience before God. But if we're following him, when we see him that day, when we're face to face with him, we will know that we've done all that we can. See, I'm not talking about past mistakes here. I'm not talking about sins that you've committed in the past, that you have surrendered to God, that you have repented of. Now, sometimes those things, they still come up and they cloud our conscience until we remember that God's grace is enough. I know for me, it was a long journey. And it still is a journey that's going on. I had to go before my dad and talk to my dad and tell him that I was sorry, tell him that I forgave him. I had to go before my mom and my brothers and my sister and apologize to them. In the 1 year that God took us back to Guam, I had to stand up in front of the entire church body and apologize to them for some things that I had said and things I had done when I was a teenager. It was a long journey. The journey is still ongoing. And when God brings something to mind, then you need to work through that. But we need to not stay there. See, God's grace is enough. He can take away all the shame. He can take away all the guilt. He can remove all of that. When you ask for forgiveness, God forgives you. And he forgets about it. So we need to learn to forget about it and to move on. But you see, what I'm really talking about here is when we want to crowd out God's plans for our lives, God's purpose for our lives with some of our own things in the here and now. You know, when we take God's plans and we put them on the shelf or we put them in the back burner to pursue our own things. When we take our own stuff and put them in place of what God wants for us, things that steal our energy, our time, our resources, our devotion for God. You see, God wants our love. He wants our obedience. He wants us to be committed wholeheartedly to Him, following after Him. And whenever we're not doing that, whenever we place God second and put Him behind us, that's when we end up brewing regrets. You see, if we really want to live a life with no regrets, then we need to ask God to help keep us on track. We need to ask Him help us to be about the Father's business, to share the good news, to be witnesses. We need to ask God to help us to be faithful and committed to Him and His will for our lives, regardless of the outcomes. We just need to do what it is that God is asking us to do, trusting Him and knowing that He will do the best. The results are up to Him. If we can do that, just follow after Him, trusting Him, we can have a clear conscience. A clear conscience before God. See, the results, again, they're really up to Him. Our job is just to stay as close to Him as we possibly can, to follow after Him as close to us as we can, close enough that the dust is getting all over us. Sharing the good news with others, helping them to grow closer to God and on the journey that they're on, making disciples. Today, how is your regret factor? Is your past filled with regrets? Don't live in the past. Don't nurse those regrets. Don't wallow there in the mistakes that you've made. I'm sure that most of us can go and fill pages and pages, chapters and chapters of mistakes that we have made along the way. But do you realize that today, right now, God wants to begin a new chapter in your life? It is a chapter called No Regrets. Are you willing to make this declaration today? From this day forward, I will trust God to help me live right. From this day forward, I will commit myself to honoring God through love and through obedience. And from this day forward, I will seek to live with a clear conscience, knowing that Christ has forgiven me and that I'm doing all I can to follow Him. Follow Him as closely as you can. You see, if this has resonated with your heart, if this has struck a chord with you, just take a moment and tell the Lord where you're at, what you're going through, what's on your mind. You see, He already knows it, but He loves to hear it from you. He wants you to tell Him where you're at, what your struggles are, what your things are. Talk to Him. Ask Him to help you work through those issues, to work through that stuff. He can do it. And I understand that it's a process. But it'll be worth it. It's not an easy road, but it will be worth it. And God will journey with you through each and every bit of it. But you see, it is the only journey, it is the only road that you ever want to be on. Because it is the only road that in the end will lead to a face-to-face encounter with Jesus, where you will hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Do you want to live a life that is free of regrets? Do you want to follow God as closely as you can? Today is the day that you make the decision to leave the past behind and to follow God from here on out, as closely as you can, trusting Him, leaving the results up to Him, and doing the best that you can. Today is the day.